WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on this St. Patrick's Day Monday. And we are like the Irish coffee that gets you started in the morning. Although if you can start a little bit later today, recommended. Although it's not really going to matter. It's just going to keep raining. But it is raining right now. It's still dark outside. It's windy. So if you're heading out the door, make sure that you cover yourself up. Actually, walked in today with my leather jacket on, but also my leather Indiana Jones hat, which was, hanging up in my living room. But as I was leaving, I was like, oh, all my hats are in the car. I need to cover my head. My umbrella's in the car. So I just grabbed that and threw it on. So I walked in here, looking like Indiana Jones. I'm sure their Fun 107 crew was, look at this guy. But I didn't wear it for St. Patrick's Day. I wore it for the rain. So, again, if you are going out and celebrating today, observing St. Patrick's Day, just be safe with it. I brought in some of my Irish whiskey that was the bag for this month from the Rackhouse Club bag from Stevie's Wine and Spirits to share with anybody here that wants to have a toast. Later on, not now, it's too early. But it's Element Irish Whiskey, so good. And if you are looking for something for St. Patrick's Day, whether it be picking up some Guinness, maybe you want some Killian's, maybe you want some Jameson, Proper Number 12, Tullamore Dew, or you want to try something different like the Element, which is the best I've ever had for an Irish whiskey. You can find it all at Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. And don't forget, they have that purple dot, so you can try it before you buy it if there's something you're not sure of. But go in there and ask for the Element. If you like Irish whiskey, you'll like that. If you like any whiskey, you'll like that. So I said that I would give you Mayor Mitchell's statement on the Boston Globe Spotlight Series, and I was taking a look at it during the news break. It's not too lengthy, so I'm going to read it to you in its entirety. But it's also in Barry's article at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. So this is the statement from Mayor Mitchell that he put out on Friday. In a series of articles this week, the Boston Globe has painted a picture of the City of New Bedford Police Department that is materially incomplete, and relies on the accounts of convicted criminals and others of dubious credibility. In the interest of transparency, I directed the department to forward the newspaper's inquiry to the FBI. The department has also made additional information available to the public on the For the Record page of its website. And that's newbedfordpd.com/for-the-record. Also linked up in Barry's article. Unfortunately, the paper also portrayed New Bedford in a way that reinforces dated stereotypes and betrays a lack of familiarity with a city that is not part of Greater Boston, much less an awareness of the comprehensive progress the city has made in recent years. Throughout my tenure in office, I have been committed to ensuring the safety of all of our residents. Thanks in no small part to the effectiveness of our police department, we have delivered on this commitment as violent crime in our city has fallen 58% in the last decade. These gains would not have been possible if we didn't embrace an ethic of constant improvement. In December 2021, we brought in a nationally renowned law enforcement consulting firm, Jensen Hughes, to perform a top-to-bottom assessment of the NBPD. This was not in response to a specific incident or external pressure, but an honest effort to determine how the department could get better at carrying out its core mission. Since it issued its recommendations 2 years ago, Jensen Hughes has remained on board to facilitate its implementation. In addition, we recently brought on a highly respected internal affairs expert to take a deeper dive into the NBPD's Organized Crime and Intelligence Bureau and Internal Affairs Unit. I have directed him to thoroughly review the Boston Globe's reporting so that no area in need of improvement is missed. We will make his findings available to the public. As the department transitions to new leadership with the previously announced retirement of Chief Oliveira, my priority will be to hire a chief who will sustain the public safety gains the city has made while faithfully maintaining a high standard of professional accountability. That is what our city's residents expect and deserve. And as you can imagine, the comments are all over the place. But that's on the city's website. The police shared it on their, on the city's Facebook page. The police shared it on their Facebook page as well. So you can go there and have your voice heard, or you can call in here at 508-996-0500. You can send in app chat messages or open line voicemails on the WBSM app. But this is something that is going to be an ongoing discussion for a while here in New Bedford. And of course, we'll have the city council president at 8 o'clock to talk about it. And Mayor Mitchell will be here Wednesday with Chris, and I am sure they're going to discuss it. And as I was saying earlier, you can't have this level of reporting and this amount of time that was spent on this series and have there not be anything there. You can't just summarily dismiss the entire report. And although Mayor Mitchell is questioning the sources that were used, he's not dismissing the content of the article. He wants to have that looked into. And we know that some of this stuff is absolutely true. We know that there was an incident of a police officer sleeping with an informant. That is absolutely true. The article chronicles the disciplinary actions that were taken against certain officers. Those things are absolutely true, or at least the fact that they were disciplined for them is. So you can't, and the sources that were used were not, it was not a single source story. The information that was given to them was corroborated with other sources. Just because you don't like what's being reported doesn't mean you can question the reporting. 508-996-0500. It looks like we have a surprise caller here. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Let's shake and play, boy.
How you doing, Lamone?
Living, just trying to keep living and loving. So, yeah. So, how's everybody out there?
We're doing well, but everybody's been wondering where you've been. I hope everything's okay.
I'm still living. I don't have pneumonia or the flu anymore. I'm not going to lie. You know, so that's always a great thing. And you know about Aaron Goodwin?
Yes. For those unfamiliar, Aaron Goodwin, one of the stars of TV's Ghost Hunters, just filed for divorce with his wife after it was learned that she had hired a hitman to try to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
The weirdest part about that, Lamone, is she was going to have him murdered on the set of Ghost Adventures while they were out filming.
And with like Deep Alito, you know, what's her name? The chick Deep Alito in Florida. But that far where they were going to have him, they were going to take pictures of him, like supposed to be dead, and send the pictures to where let her see what it looks like. So she'll be thinking that he's dead. So that's what is supposed to be happening. That would have been kind of crazy. And that's like not the, that would be like the fifth murder I could think of dealing with, you know, people involved in the Ghost Adventurers. You know, besides, you know, well, I'm thinking Debbie and Constantino.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that was the first one. There's other people that have been killed behind that, too. Have you heard about them, too?
I don't know if I've heard of anybody else.
No. There was this girl that was, like, she was, like, on the show where they had had like had were they like either trying to see if like a you know Skip with Skip was trying to see their gifted and stuff and they're like trying to school them and stuff like that and so she went on and did one there's one chick that got killed for doing that and there's two other ones I gotta think about it. They'll come to me before I'm gone.
Is there a Ghost Adventures curse?
I don't know if I'd say a curse. Maybe it's something that's a rite of passage. You know, and it's like you know, like for instance, like what happened with Nick? You know, something with his wife that almost died too. You remember? Remember the Nick? You know, the original guy with mm-hmm. Zach and Aaron. Nick is doing that too. So that was a long time ago. So yeah, I think it's a rite of passage. Like I said, they would have been crazy. Like I would have had my opportunity where I would have been on stage on TV live, and they didn't want to say anything dealing with any gimmick box with this black guy. Then again, you know the bottom down. We know how to say the black guys are the first one to go in the movies. You know, except for one movie, The Night of the Living Dead. That's the one where he lived to the end, and they still got him. That was so messed up. That was so foul. Have you made your picks for your brackets for the upcoming Final Four?
I do not pay attention to college basketball at all.
I remember trying to send you something a couple years back, a thing that's free. It was like with ESPN, you did it for free. And if you won, you won money and gifts and stuff like that. You didn't even want to do that. That was so terrible. It was free. It was like, even though it cost you anything, just a little bit of time. You know, and that would have been something you could have practiced and honed your skills. That would have been really good. So are you planning on would you like to see ELO in concert?
No, probably not.
Do you like ELO?
They're okay.
They're doing a little final tour to come to this, not to Nevada, but they're coming to the States in Canada. And so and it's like 14 stops. I think it might be coming near you. I think that would be really good to see ELO. I like, you know, then you'll be able to find out the real story about Bruce. You know, Don't Bring Me Down, Bruce.
Yeah, Don't Bring Me Down.
Don't Bring Me Down. And so, yeah. You know, that's the song was about the Skylab that was falling down in like 1978. Come from the sky, so that's where it first came from. The Don't Bring Me Down, Bruce. You know, so that's you know everybody says who's Bruce. And I keep telling them Bruce Banner. So but it's like yeah, but it's a whole different story. So I'd like to say I've got a few things that's kind of going on. I'm trying to see about like I told you about. I think probably maybe a month or so, maybe a month or 2 months. I'll be on Daniel Tosh's show, his morning show. So. And I'm going to I'll hit you up and get the lowdown on that video again, your friend Jack in the Tub.
Okay.
And so I like to do that. And so, you know, when that girl's name is there. So this is real. He'll be something that real he can put his hands on. And I've got something I could bring to him and say, leave this here in the studio and see what happens. And, you know, just something, just mess with him. I don't know if I want to bring anything. I don't want to bring anything that's cursed. I think that's something that's bad with it. I don't want to do nothing like that. Because I'm not that kind of person. You do something like that on purpose, and it's karma. I don't need that kind of karma going on with me. And so yeah. So have you been doing any spooky lives any time soon in the last weeks?
No, we haven't been doing it. It might be a little while before we are back with it. I talked with Stephanie about it the other day, and you know, right now she's got the little baby, and I've got some things going on some Saturdays coming up, so might be a few more weeks before we can bring it back.
I'm trying to call you guys, and I'm glad with the little puck wedges going wild. So, you know, the little puck wedges, they're nice to see. But oh, that would be nice. But why were you in the hospital?
I had, well, I thought I was having a heart attack, but it turns out I had hepatitis A.
Oh, how'd you get that?
From something I ate. I got some bad meat.
Or sure it's not whom you've eaten. You know, somebody like that, you know, oh no, you know, bad, you know, use a dental lamb, brother.
No, definitely not that, no.
Okay, well, you know, I'm glad you're okay, though.
I'm glad you are, too. I was only in for a couple of days.
I was like, I add that to my 33 days, we would have been working on 2 months then.
33 days for you?
Yeah, pneumonia, then the flu.
Yeah, I heard reports on the news about that flu-monia going around Las Vegas.
And they said, yeah, even Lamone's got it. Everybody's like, ooh, how do you get it? And stuff like that. And it's like, I told you how, like in my room, I was in one wing of this hospital. And you know how cold it might get in a hospital room, like maybe 68, something like that, 65. Mm-hmm. My room was 42 degrees. That's as low as the temperature the thermometer would go. So it was lower than that. People would walk by the room, and you see their breaths when they walk by my room. They would walk by, and it was three nurses and two doctors and a couple people work on the maintenance during the night.
But they kept it that cold because you were burning up?
Well, I was hot child in the city. No, I'm not that. I was a hot child. But no, there was a lady sitting, there was a nurse sitting in my room. Yeah, she was sitting by the window. She was a ghost, of course. But she sat there from 8:30 at night to 10:45 in the morning, and it was ice cold all that time. And there, and was like, she said, I wanted to talk to her, but she wouldn't talk. But I just seen the vision and pictures. She gave me the pictures and things. I wanted to find her name so I'd go and see if she had any relatives still here in town, so they could go and get their aunt or whoever she might be to somebody. Because she's somebody. She seemed like a lovely person. But she sat and looked at me, watched me all night long. And it's like, I said, why? No, geez, I feel kind of like, you know, why you want to look at me now when I look at the bad side of me? Look at this side of me, a better side of me. When I'm healthy, I would rather do that. So, yeah, but she seemed like such a nice person. But I felt so much pain from her. And, you know, when I left, I had to go to a rehab, okay? Not like rehabilitation.
Right, like physical rehab, yeah.
Yes. And because I had the vertigo and stuff like that, my balance was really off. So my roommate, this guy was sleeping in the room, and he was like, get off me, get off, leave me alone. He kept saying that during the night. And I rolled over and looked, and there was something blacker than Flavor Flav on his back, on his shoulders, right there riding on him. And he was screaming and saying something, and you could feel it. You could feel it in the room. It was all so oppressive, and I felt so bad. And I left and went and bought some stuff for him, you know, protect him and things like that. But it's a whole different story with that. But that was something you could see it on him, you know. It was already dark in the bed, in the room too, but it was darker with him. You see the darkness was extra dark on the shoulder. It's like he had Quasimodo, but something living on the shoulder. And how the back lifts, that's how it looked right there, but it was like on the shoulder. I've noticed a lot of times when I've seen demonic things attached to people, I've seen it that way on the shoulders or in the back, that way attached to them. Like, I guess, whether it gets to their spine, where they have all the everything on them, they access everything to them. That's something I've noticed. I've seen a few times. That's something you might need to check on, because I think that's how they might be able to access and control people.
That could be it. I got to hold you there, Lamont. I got to take this break before the news.
I'd like to say God bless everybody out there in the beautiful New Bedford area, and may the good Lord smile upon you. And let's hope Duke doesn't go win or anything like that. So I'm hoping that God will be blessing me, and I'll be able to come see you guys, or vice versa. And so if anybody getting ready to come to Vegas, I'll be more than happy to show you around and get you liquored up.
There you go. All right.
God
thank
bless
you, sir.
You. Play on, play
you
as boy. Well. Play on, brother.
All right. That is Lamar in Las Vegas. Glad that he is well, and glad to hear from him. And we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get the news with Mike Roberts. And now on this rainy St. Patrick's Day, it's time to get a check on all the top stories of the day with Mike Roberts in the WBSM newsroom.
The FTC and IRS are warning of text scams. More Gen Zers are becoming first-time home buyers. And layoffs expected at the post office.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The Canadian ambassador to the U.S. is insisting the two countries are still close allies despite recent disagreements over trade. Kirsten Hillman told Fox News Sunday that after recent meetings between officials from both countries, she expects some big announcements that will impact the tariffs President Trump plans to impose on Canada next month.
And we understood from them his whole global agenda in this respect. And we talked about how Canada can fit into that.
Meanwhile, on Meet the Press, the Secretary of the Treasury is dismissing concerns about the recent stock market losses following President Trump's tariffs on international goods. Scott Bessent said the president is just correcting the dangerous policies of the Biden administration, insisting that he doesn't expect there to be an economic crisis.
I'm not worried about the markets. Over the long term, if we put good tax policy in place, deregulation, and energy security, the markets will do great.
New data from the Federal Trade Commission shows Americans lost $5.7 billion just last year to investment scams. Scott Carr has more from Washington.
The data shows the majority of those who reported being scammed out of purported investments last year to the agency lost an average of more than $9,000. FTC officials warn scammers often try to create a false sense of urgency surrounding an investment opportunity and often ask for payments through unusual means, such as gift cards.
Meanwhile, tax season is in full swing, and the Better Business Bureau is warning the public to beware of scammers. The latest scam involving a text claiming to be from the IRS that advises the recipient that they qualify for a $1,400 check as part of an economic impact payment rebate. It also contains a link, but don't click it. The BBB says it leads to a fake but convincing IRS website designed to steal personal and financial information. The Department of Education is launching investigations into nearly 50 universities over diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. Lisa Taylor gives us the details.
Some of the schools under investigation include Yale, Duke, MIT, Ohio State, and Arizona State. Most of the investigations are looking into the school's partnerships with the PhD Project, a nonprofit designed to help minorities get business degrees. The investigations come as President Trump has called for DEI practices to come to an end. I'm Lisa Taylor.
The United States Postal Service has announced layoff plans for 10,000 employees. The layoffs are in cooperation with Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. According to a letter sent to Congress last week, Postal Service CEO Louis DeJoy agreed to work with DOGE on downsizing. This is part of the Delivering for America plan, a 10-year project looking to modernize the USPS operations and reach financial sustainability. More Gen Zers are looking to break into the home market. Jim Forbes has more.
Gen Z made up 13% of U.S. home mortgage applications last year. Many Gen Z home buyers are single, but nearly half of the applicants had co-applicants. The analysis also found that Gen Z home ownership was highest in the Midwest for 2024, while more expensive coastal metros lagged behind. I'm Jim Forbes.
WBSM Sports.
The Sox take on the Braves this afternoon at 1:05. The Buffalo Sabres visit the Bruins tonight at 7. Celtics host the Nets tomorrow at 7:30. The field has been set for the 2025 NCAA men's basketball tournament. Auburn took the number one overall seed. Duke, Houston, and Florida, the other three. In NASCAR, Josh Berry got the checkered flag in the Pennzoil 400 in Las Vegas yesterday.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Rain heavy at times with a slight chance of a thunderstorm in here as well. Highs will top out near 58 and the rain doesn't wind down until we get to tonight. For Tuesday, look for partly sunny skies with a high near 57. I'm meteorologist Kelly Bates on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
No reasons, what reason do you need to be shown? Whoa, whoa, whoa. day down.
And, of course, that is Ireland's own Boomtown Rats, led by Bob Geldof, the man who started Band-Aid and then put together Live Aid, did a lot to help the world. And that song, of course, I Don't Like Mondays, it's actually, as much as it's a kind of a peppy, upbeat song, it's about a horrible tragedy. It was about in 1979, 16-year-old Brenda Ann Spencer fired at children in a school playground at Grover Cleveland Elementary School in San Diego, California, killing two adults and injuring eight children and one police officer. Showing no remorse for her crime, when they asked her why she did it, she said, "I don't like Mondays. This livens up the day." And so Bob Geldof read about that and turned that into a song. And it became a big hit that a lot of people didn't realize was about a school shooting. But again, an Irish band, and we're playing Irish bands this morning here on the program. So have you had a chance to read the Boston Globe Spotlight series on New Bedford police? What is your takeaway on it? I've seen a lot of different approaches online, people who agree with Barry's column that you can read today at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, where, you know, the Globe relied too much on dubious sources, to use the mayor's term. But I don't agree with that. I think that they took the time to vet it before they brought it to print. They didn't just print that willy-nilly. And if you read the articles with a critical eye and comprehend it all, what they're telling you is, you know, he said this and we verified this with others. And this isn't like they had their criminal informant and a former police officer in the same room and said, you know, tell us what happened. And one says, yeah. And the other one's like, yeah, that's definitely what happened. Reporters, especially those who end up on the Spotlight team, know how to verify information. They're not calling up a police officer, a former police officer, and saying, well, the criminal informant told us that this happened. Is that true? They're saying, tell us what you know about this situation. So I think that there is a lot of information that comes across in that article that needs to be investigated further. And Mayor Mitchell has said that they're going to utilize Jensen Hughes for that, as well as this consultant that they brought in to help with internal affairs, that they are going to be looking at some of these claims that are in this report. So they're not just summarily dismissing it, but they're also saying, like, consider the sources that were used. But on the surface, you've got to admit, this does not look good from a PR perspective. And is this going to scare away people who might have been interested in taking the police chief job? If you look at the way that the department is portrayed in this piece, you know, they tried to be fair to point out that this isn't, you know, this isn't every officer. This isn't a rampant thing, but that there are officers who are doing these kind of things and getting away with it. They're basically pinning this on Chief Oliveira, that this is a culture that exists because of him. So if somebody is coming in from the outside looking at this job, are they saying to themselves, well, the problems go when the chief retires? I mean, I guess it all depends on how much these applicants, how much faith they're going to put in that reporting in the first place. But this does give the mayor a huge opportunity, if he was really looking to go outside the department, which is something that he was talking about with Chris, that it's open to anybody, that they're just looking for the best person available no matter where they may be. Well, this gives you a built-in excuse to go outside when people might have been critical if you did that. The other part of it is, you know, I've seen a lot of people talk about how coincidental it is that the chief announces retirement when we knew that this report was coming out. And there was this just him getting out before the heat was on over the Spotlight series? I still think it comes more in line with the fact that he's turning 55 and he's turning the age that he can retire, and why not? But if that also helps in this regard too, I'm sure that that's an added bonus. But just because the chief retires doesn't mean the questions go away. So I think it's going to be a very interesting search for the next chief. It's going to be a very interesting way in seeing how the police department reacts to this. You know, I'm really less interested in how the mayor comes on and talks about this, or how the police chief comes on and talks about this, or even how Council President Burgo comes on and talks about this, as I am hearing from the rank and file police officers. You know, are they going to come away with a feeling of this is bogus, the Globe is just picking on us? Or are they going to come away with a feeling of, you know, finally somebody's addressing this stuff that we've seen going on that we don't agree with? Assuming that what was being reported is true. But what the mayor said in his statement is true. They have made significant changes in the police department policy. They're continuing to implement more. They're working toward accountability. It's not going to happen overnight, but they're working toward more accountability and transparency. And they're making steps in the right direction. Keep in mind that most of the things that were reported in this series were not recent. So that, I guess, can bode well for the future of the department. Is this also why you were seeing officers leave and go to other towns or take other jobs? You know, a lot of people thought it was about the money, but was it about the money or was it about the culture? 508-996-0500. App chat. Open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Gotta take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments.
Tonight, we're gonna beat the town green. Your friends are on the phone now, it's so close to Patty's Day. And it kills you not to be there, but life got in the way. If I have to break the bank, spend every penny on your dreams. It's alright, cause tonight, we're gonna beat the town green.
Just like home, it's color the streets like a home. Let's make this place feel like our home. If it's just you and me, it's all right. Cause tonight, we're gonna paint town green.
All right, welcome back in. That is The Script. That is another Irish band that goes out to Participation Trophy Wife, who requested that song. And that's why I'm playing Irish bands today, because it is St. Patrick's Day. Hopefully you're going to be able to have your corned beef and cabbage. If you didn't have it over the weekend, I know some people had it over the weekend. I was like, nah, I'm going to wait for Monday, but I'm going to try to leave early from work today anyway, because also Monday Night Raw is emanating from Brussels, Belgium. So it's actually airing live at 3 p.m. on Netflix today. So I don't have to stay up late to watch Monday Night Raw. It's pretty exciting. So I don't know if I'm going to get there exactly at 3, but I'll certainly be able to watch it earlier while my corned beef and cabbage is cooking, and then I'll get to enjoy that and go to bed early. That's a good St. Patrick's Day for me. 508-996-0500. And you know what else is a good St. Patrick's Day for me is the fact that I don't have to do any laundry today. Because I went by Dash Laundromat yesterday, dropped it all off for their wash, dry, fold service. And now I can just go pick it up on Wednesday. I could have gotten next day if I wanted, but I said, no, I've got enough underwear to last me. So I'll pick it up on Wednesday. and I'll get nice, beautifully cleaned, fresh-smelling clothing, and I will have it all nice and folded. I don't have to worry about, I can just put it right away, or actually what I do is just rip it out of the bag and put it on. And they take care of all of that for me. And if you would like to have them do it for you, you can now sign up for their subscription services. A small tote, $89 a month. That's about 20 pounds of laundry for $89 a month. They'll come, they'll pick it up, they'll drop it off. They'll make it super easy for you. Or if you want to drop it off yourself, you can do that. You can use their convenient lockers. Using the Dash Laundromat app, you just type in the code and boom, it opens up and you're all good. But why are you wasting time in your busy day doing laundry when Dash Laundromat wants to do it for you? Find out more by going to dashlaundromat.com or stop by One State Road in Dartmouth. Talk with them. Get your tote. You can get a small tote, again, that holds up to 20 pounds for just $25, or get the large tote up to 50 pounds for just $55. And find out more, again, at dashlaundromat.com by stopping by One State Road in Dartmouth or download the Dash Laundromat app. You're going to get it done with Dash, and actually, they're going to get it done, and you don't have to do anything about it. That's why I love using Dash. All right, 508-996-0500 coming up in the next hour. New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo will be with us. We will talk about, well, I've got a few questions about some of the things that went on over the course of the week. Last week, he was acting mayor while the mayor was out of town. He participated in the Irish flag raising on Friday. And of course, he was there at the New Bedford Half Marathon, as was the mayor. But I want to really find out about, first of all, you know, what is the climate of the council following the turmoil that was going on between Councilor Moret and Councilor Chiquette? And also, of course, get his take on this Boston Globe Spotlight series and the way it is, spotlight, pun intended, it is shining on the New Bedford Police Department. Because this isn't something that you can just casually dismiss and say, ah, it's the Globe. Ah, what a bunch of hacks over there. That's not. You can't. And I know Barry's been trying to do that. And, you know, you can read his article about it where he defends a little bit more why he feels that way. But I don't think you can do that. I think you have to look at what's being claimed and examine some of those claims. You can't just dismiss them out of hand. And one of the most disturbing parts of it is the so-called Green Fund. The fact that drug cops are taking money, allegedly taking money from drug suspects. So it might be a $10,000 seizure gets reported as a $2,000 seizure. You know, here's the hot take that I have on that. I actually think that money should go to the drug detectives. It should all be above board and should be something that is properly cataloged, but I think all drug forfeitures that aren't, you know, obviously if somebody's not found guilty, they should get their money back. But when people are convicted and that money has been seized, that money should go to the department with a portion of it going out as bonuses to the arresting officers, which they usually do get bonuses for some of these busts. And then the rest of it can go toward the general fund of the police to help fund more police work. And a portion of it can go to help with drug rehab and things like that. But you can't just be putting it in your pocket while you're making the arrest, which is what this Globe story is alleging. Anyway, I got to take my final break of the hour. We will be right back. And that, of course, is the Cranberries. And speaking of Cranberries makes you think of what? Wareham, Middleborough, that area, right? Well, Wareham's own Beth the Bagpiper, who you probably read about at WBSM.com last week, she's going to be performing today at Brack's Tavern in Middleborough. As well as at 1 o'clock, they're going to have the Holly Breyer Bagpipes and Drum. 5:45 will be Beth the Bagpiper. And at 6 p.m., Irish Step Dancers from Connolly Academy. That's just part of the great lineup of entertainment and great Irish food and specials happening at Brax. Whether you go to Brax Grill and Tap in Taunton or Brockton or Brax Tavern in Middleborough, they are celebrating St. Patrick's Day at all three locations. You can get your corned beef and cabbage Irish dinner and have fun as well. Check them out. And don't forget, too, they have the $12.99